Thank you, Mr. Miller. Spooks, ghosts, demons, wizards, witches, crystal balls, boiling cauldrons, vampires, graveyards, headstones, pumpkins with grotesque faces carved into them, skeletons, skulls, Frankenstein, zombies, bats, spiders, blood, black cats, and even Satan himself. Why do supposedly rational adults dress up as these things, decorate their homes with images, and worse, dress up their children as these dark characters and expose them to the dark side of the spirit world? What possible good can come from these superstitions and traditions? How's that for an introduction? It's estimated that Americans will spend less on Halloween this year than they did last year. Last year, they spent $8.78 billion, with a B, billion dollars on Halloween. It's dropping all the way in 2020 to $8.3 billion. Evil, darkness, horror, modern Halloween in America is wrong. It is not just wrong, it is sin. And we should have nothing, and I underline nothing, to do with it. It's been about 20 years since I gave a sermon on Halloween, so you're going to get one today. Probably nothing you've never heard before, but hopefully in a way that will be useful for us to stand our ground against what is wrong and what is evil. Today we'll discuss several reasons why Halloween is wrong and why, therefore, we do not and should not participate in it. Now, I don't think we have any closet Halloweeners here, so I'm not giving this sermon because I've heard some people in the Church of God are No. But it's very important that we understand that we stand on solid ground when we say Halloween is not just wrong, it's sin, and should be avoided by God's people. Let's look at number one. Reason number one. It is not in the Bible. I said you probably would not get anything brand new. Obviously, Halloween is not commanded in the Bible. There is no Halloween. There is no All Saints' Day. There is no All Hallows' Eve. None of that comes from the Scripture. God, in fact, told His people not to copy the religious customs of the pagan nations around them. And as we go through the sermon today, if you haven't had it concreted in your mind, you will. Halloween is, underlined twice, a religious holiday. Don't let people out there try to tell you something different. Oh, it's just something for the kids. Not true. It is a religious holiday, and we'll show why that's the case as we go along. Turn with me first to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8, in verses 19 and 20. God was warning His people through Isaiah that they were on the edge because they had lost much of their heart for obedience to God. They were very much tempted into idolatry and into the dark side. We live in a nation today that has lost its conscience, that does not see right from wrong. And as a result, they are subject to and open to being seduced by the dark side, we might say. Isaiah 8 in verse 19. Isaiah 8 and verse 19. And when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards. What is a medium? It's in between a large and a small, right? A medium is one who apparently thinks they can communicate either with the dead or they can communicate with the spirit world. They'll often talk about having a spirit guide that they'll connect with, and then that spirit will take them mentally throughout the spirit world, giving them messages. So we know, of course, the dead don't talk. at all. They're dead. But when they say, seek those who are mediums or wizards, a wizard typically is a male witch, and a witch is often simply a female version of the same thing. When they say, seek those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and mutter, isn't it interesting? When someone claims to be speaking to the dead, it's not out loud. You know, they say, oh. It's just rife with deception. You can say anything you want. Nonetheless, who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? What we ought to be doing as a nation, as a people, is seeking what God says in the Scripture. Again, where none of these things that we've already mentioned are found. Should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? Does it make sense to get insight from the dead, supposedly, about how to live? Wouldn't you think you want to say, well, if you were so smart, why'd you die in the first place? Would you seek amongst the dead insight about living? It's just ridiculous. Yet people have been seduced into that kind of thinking. So God doesn't want us to focus on witches, on wizards. It says in verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. Do we know God's word? We live in a nation today that does not know God's word. They don't know it. They don't know what it says. They don't know what it commands. They don't know what God expects of them. So they seek these other outlets. If they do not speak according to this word, in the middle of verse 20, it is because there is no light in them. There is no light in Halloween, in All Hallows Eve, in All Saints Day. No light. God wants us to look to Him and to His law. God's way is described as light. And He expects us to strive, as we all know, to avoid the darkness of evil. Turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And we'll read in verses 22 and 23. And I apologize, we're cutting into the midst of a topic here. It's the sin of Saul. As you know, 1 Samuel, kind of the story of Saul, 2 Samuel, the story of David, and then on to the kings after that, that follow Solomon. 1 Samuel 15, in verses 22 and 23, Saul had disqualified himself from being God's king. He had disobeyed God exactly, just completely and totally. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. So Samuel said, he's kind of announcing that he has to tell Saul that God has abandoned him. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? We should look into God's word to see what God's voice says. Behold, he says, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. You can go through the physical routine of sacrifice, but if your heart is not there and you're not being obedient, it doesn't matter. So then in verse 22, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Witchcraft is sin. What does witchcraft involve? It involves invoking spirits of the dead. It involves invoking powers of the spirit world. It involves all kinds of things along the dark side. Do not kid yourself. There is no such thing as a good witch, because the source of power is the dark side. Satan is described in the New Testament as coming across what? As an angel of light. So for someone to think, oh, there are good witches and bad witches, it's a lie that's been foisted upon the people in America since about 1939, when Glenda the Good Witch first appeared in The Wizard of Oz to help Dorothy. It's all a lie. There are spiritual powers that come from God, and the rest come from Satan the devil. Witchcraft is a sin. So to dress up a little child in a pointed hat and give her a broom, to dress up that little boy with a hat on that's pointing on the top and a star on it, is sin. It's not just bad judgment, it's sin. It's wrong. Should not be done. And yet you have thousands of Christians out there who claim that, oh, no, we'll fix this. We'll do good things instead of bad things on Halloween. Well, we'll talk more about that as we go along. God doesn't want us to have anything to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Witchcraft is not cute. It's not quaint to God. To Him, it's akin to simple rebellion against Him. Because God, you see, you're not strong enough or good enough for me to be obedient to you. I will come up with my own ideas, my own spiritual sources. Turn to Leviticus chapter 20. How serious was God about the dark side and avoiding it and keeping that influence out of His nation? We'll read that here in Leviticus chapter 20, in verse 27. Remember, Leviticus is the second stating, we might say, where God continues to give information and insight to Israel. And it's a very basic education here in spiritual principles. How was the physical nation going to run? On what laws would it function? How would it work on a day-to-day basis? Much of that is here in Leviticus. Leviticus 20, verse 27 simply says, a man, wizard, or woman, witch, who is a medium contacting the dead, in touch with the spirit world, or who has familiar spirits. Familiar spirits would be those that are regularly contacted by the same person to be their guide through the spirit world. Things that we've seen commonly in our country today. A man or woman who has a medium, or is a medium, or has a familiar spirit, shall surely be put to death, that they may, or that they shall stone him with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. So to dabble with the spirit world, God says, should be a death penalty. A medium who claims to contact the dead was under capital offense. The same as a murderer, the same as an adulterer, the same as a worshiper of a false god. So God does not take these things lightly. This is not in the Bible. Halloween, All Hallows Eve, All Saints Day are not biblical festivals of any sort, so we do not have anything to do with them. A second reason. Halloween comes from pagan superstitions. Halloween comes from pagan superstitions. Let me read to you from the World Book Encyclopedia. It sums it up this way. The Celtic festival of Samhain is probably the source of the present-day Halloween celebration. Basically, the Celts had an earth kind of religion. Worship revolved around the seasons, and of course, because the seasons were unexplainable in many respects, it was assumed that spirit influences were always present. And they worshipped some of them. The Celts lived more than 2,000 years ago in what is now Great Britain, Ireland, and northern France. Their new year began on November 1st. A festival that began the previous evening honored Samhain, the Celtic lord of death. Sound familiar? Halloween 2020? The celebration marked the beginning of the season of cold, darkness, and decay. It naturally became associated with human death. The Celts believed that Samhain allowed the souls of the dead to return to their earthly homes for this evening. So part of their mythology was that the curtain between the dead and the living was at its thinnest point on this night, tonight, Halloween. And as a result, spirits could pass from the underworld or past that curtain that separated the living from the dead, and they could visit. Now, not only could they visit, they could also cause havoc. And we'll see some of the interesting things that come about as a result. Encyclopedia Britannica says this, in ancient Britain and Ireland, The Celtic festival of Samhain was observed on October 31st at the end of summer. The souls of the dead were supposed to revisit their homes on this day. So what do they do? If your relatives are coming, you feed them, right? So you put out food. They didn't say trick or treat, but that's where it comes from. Putting out food for the spirits that are going to be visiting. They were supposed to revisit their homes on this day, and the autumnal festival acquired sinister significance with ghosts, witches, goblins, black cats, fairies, and demons of all kind said to be roaming about. It was the time to placate the supernatural powers controlling the processes of nature. In addition, Halloween was thought to be the most favorable time for divinations. So because that veil was so thin, it'd be the best time to talk to the dead or to others in the spirit world to get insight about living. So divinations concerning marriage, luck, health, and death. It was the only day on which the help of the devil was invoked for such purposes. Tell us what's going to happen. Who am I going to marry? Bobbing for apples was a way they determined that the spirits would tell them who they might marry and when they might marry. Would they have children? Would they not? So ridiculous pagan superstitions constantly there. And it is interesting that we think about masking up. Very different. Let's read on. It's widely understood that Halloween and All Saints' Day have their origins in an ancient Celtic festival called Samhain. As the days, warm summer days associated with life, gave way to the cold autumn and winter associated with death, the Celts believed the division between life and death was blurred. They believed that on November 1st, the Celtic New Year, the spirits of the dead roamed the earth. Some people would light bonfires to repel evil spirits. Wear masks. Why? To confuse the spirits and stop the dead from identifying individuals who they had disliked during their own lifetime. So why'd you wear a mask when you went out that night? To trick the evil spirits into not recognizing you. So if, you know, Mrs. Smith down the road didn't particularly like you, she wouldn't come back and cause you problems because she couldn't figure out where you were. You had that mask on. And yet today we mask up our little children like that and think it's nothing but play. It is a direct connection to paganism, a direct connection. Some would leave food outside for the wandering evil spirits in order to placate them and keep them from causing mischief for the living. Others would try to communicate with their dead relatives and friends through seance-like experiences. So, clearly, this festival has its absolute roots, and all the traditions with it go back to pagan superstition. It was a pagan holiday. And as a result, Christians have nothing to do with it. But then you ask, well, how did it get to be kind of amongst Christians as well? How did that transition take place? Well, over the course of time, it was clear that as the Catholic Church moved into places like Ireland and Great Britain, or what is today Great Britain, they ran up against all of these pagan customs. And as the Roman Catholic Church has done for millennia, they simply said, well, we're not going to stamp that out. These people like it too much. So what we'll do is we'll make it Christian. Interesting. In the 8th century, it's again from the encyclopedia. In the 8th century, the Roman Church under Pope Gregory III moved All Saints' Day from May 13th to November 1st, the day previously celebrated as Samhain. The thinking was that establishing a day to honor dead saints through masses, prayers, and relics on top of a pagan day to honor the dead would help ease people out of celebrating Samhain. The same reasoning was used for other holidays like Christmas, Easter, and Valentine's Day, all of which occupied dates that were previously prominent pagan festivals. So some would say, oh, they did that to try to draw people out. those who are a bit more informed and skeptical would say they simply tacked on Christian names to the same old thing so people wouldn't have to change, but they would get them into the Catholic Church. Is there ever a comment here about repentance, about changing? Never. It's, oh, we want to accommodate. So what did the Catholic Church do, as they've done with so many things? They simply took all of the pagan trappings, including the holiday itself, slapped a Christian name on it, and expected that God should accept it, because they changed it. History.com says, it is widely believed today that the church was attempting to replace the Celtic festival of the dead with the related but church-sanctioned holiday. Pause for a second. Let that sink in a little bit. They replace it with a church-sanctioned festival or holiday, not a biblically-sanctioned holiday, not a God-sanctioned holiday. God told his people what? These are my Sabbaths. These are the holy days that I expect you to keep. What did the Catholic Church do? Oh, we'll sanction a day that we want you to keep. That's sin. That's wrong as well. All Souls Day, it continues, was celebrated similarly to Samhain, with big bonfires, parades, and dressing up in costumes as saints, angels, and devils. Pause for a second. All Saints Day. Where did that come from? What's the background behind that? We could go into much more detail there. Is that a biblical holiday? Is that one God says, you know, in Leviticus 23 or elsewhere, Exodus 20, places like that, they say, this is the day I want you to keep. Remember the All Saints Day to keep it holy? You don't think so. It's a man-made festival. Again, not what does God say. It's let's do what we think is right. It goes back directly to the Garden of Eden. We'll decide for ourselves how we will relate to you, God. We'll tell you. That human arrogance is just appalling. We'll decide for ourselves. You know what? Because we're superior. That's what it comes down to. It's what Satan's attitude of pride has so infected humanity. It's just not funny. It's really, really tragic. All Saints Day presumes, of course, the immortality of the soul, which is a false doctrine. It's a lie. So even to have an All Saints Day where you supposedly worship and recognize those saints is wrong of and by itself. All Saints Day celebration was also called All Hallows or All Hallowmas from the Middle English, meaning All Saints Day. And the night before it, the traditional night of Samhain in the Celtic religion, began to be called All Hallows Eve and eventually Halloween. All Hallows Eve. So the Catholics placed a false holiday on top of a pagan holiday to come up with a doubly wrong holiday. Can't get much wronger than that, as we say. Tragic, isn't it? The more fun parts of Samhain celebration were also kept and associated with the evening before All Saints' Day, which came to be known as All Hallows' Eve or Halloween. Many of the old traditions of Samhain evolved into the holiday traditions we know today. For instance, the old Samhain tradition of leaving food out to appease dead spirits is the origin of the modern practice of trick-or-treating. You see, if you didn't leave food for the spirits, they would harm you in some way. They would cause rot to come to your stores that you put away for the winter. They would ruin your crops for the spring, for the next year. The origin of trick-or-treat is nothing but demonism. Nothing we're involved with. We don't get involved with this. The old tradition, leaving food out to appease the dead spirits, is the origin of the modern practice of trick-or-treating. And the tradition of wearing masks to confuse dead spirits morphed into Halloween costumes. I'm sure that my mother, when she dressed me up as a 7-year-old or a 6-year-old or a 5-year-old before we came to a knowledge of the truth, had absolutely no idea what she was doing. And neither did I. All I knew is I get to go out and fill a bag full of candy. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy 18. Moses is now restating for this younger generation, the second generation, we might say, that's going into the promised land. They've wandered for 40 years. They've come to adulthood. And now they're going to be responsible to enact God's way in the promised land. So he tells them this in Deuteronomy 18 and verse 9. When you come or enter into the land which the eternal God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. Another translation says, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. It goes on to say, there shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire. What was that all about? Well, you see, many pagan cultures thought that if they were going to get the best results from their God, they would have to show that God how dedicated they were to that God. And the most deep way you could do that is by sacrificing your son or your daughter, giving that little life to this God. How else could you show how serious you were about worship of this God? So you see, when you begin to choose for yourself what is right and what is wrong and how God will be worshipped, the mind can go to absolutely horrific places. That I can cut myself, and that's pleasing to God because I'm suffering and I'm showing how much pain I'm willing to inflict on myself in honor of that God. I can literally put my live child into a burning fire, burning that child to death to show how much I love this God. It's just sick. In addition to that, the human sacrifice. You shall not find among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. In other words, you're dabbling in the demonic side of the world. God doesn't want any of that amongst his people. For many years, as we would drive to Youngstown services in the morning, heading up Route 53 outside of Kent on the way to Brimfield, there was a home alongside the road that had kind of a garage built onto it. And for years, there was a fortune teller there. So they had this sign in the window that said tarot, or I forget exactly what the sign was. But there they are, plain as day. Let us contact the spirit world for you. Every time we drive by, Pam would go, eventually they died, moved out, were chased out, I don't know what. But it's typical that it's perfectly acceptable in our culture to consult the spirit world, the evil that they don't know lurks there. Goes on to say in verse 12, for all who do these things are an abomination to the eternal. So we're going to dress up our little children like one of these people? It's an abomination to the eternal. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. So we wonder why we can't control certain things in our culture. Wonder why we can't control this virus. I mean, we have at our disposal the most powerful healthcare machine in the world. We can't even control this little bitty virus. Pretty sad. What we see are curses coming upon us. In the middle of a sermon preparation regarding the curses that God pronounced, to analyze those. Is that what's happening here? What are these curses and how do they manifest themselves in our culture? Do we see that? Do we not? I hope so. goes on to say, in verse 12, I'll read to you from New American Standard. It says, "For whoever does these things is detestable to the eternal." Detestable. "And because of these detestable things, the eternal your God will drive them out before you." Verse 13, "You shall be blameless before the eternal your God." So the practices of Halloween come directly from pagan superstition. Point number three. We don't do Halloween number three because it glorifies evil things. Glorifies evil things. If you look with me to the book of Ephesians, we'll begin reading in chapter 5 and verse 6. Chapter 5 and verse 6. Now, Paul here is not writing specifically about Halloween. He's writing about the principle of being involved in the sinful practices of this world. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 6. "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things," the things he's talked about earlier, sexual sins, fornication, etc. "Because of these things," coveting, idolatry, etc. "Because of these things, let no one deceive you because of these things, for the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." Interesting to know. God's wrath will come upon the sons of disobedience. Continues in verse 7. "Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Why on earth would we try to Christianize a ceremony that is absolutely pagan to the core, that is idol worshiping to the core? Why would we do that? Why would we think that that's acceptable? It goes on to say, "Then the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." Verse 11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." Comes a time to confront them, to expose them. The word literally there means to reprove them. To tell them this is wrong. You shouldn't have anything to do with it. Verse 12, "For it's shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret." So it leads to all kinds of things. So we ask, do the following praise and honor God, or in reality do they support Satan's agenda? Number one, celebrating a holiday that involves fear and evil spirits. Is that something that honors God? Can we Christianize that? Number two, decorating homes and yards with fearful, frightening things and images depicting evil spirits. Does that honor God? To put an RIP little styrofoam gravestone, headstone in your yard with a half-decayed hand coming out of the ground in front of it, does that honor God? Do we think somehow we can Christianize those things? Watching horrific, scary movies of murder, death, fear, and evil, does that honor God? Is it possible to Christianize a horror movie? Can we do that? Oh, as long as it's not too violent, then. Let me read you an excerpt from Facts on Halloween, written by Harvest House Publishers. Quote, "The carved pumpkin may have originated," listen to this, "may have originated with the witch's use of a collection of skulls with a candle in each to light the way to coven meetings." You see, it was the runway to get you to get to where the witches were meeting. "But among the Irish, who, as noted, prompted the popularization of Halloween in America, the legend of Irish Jack explains the jack-o'-lantern." Anyone ever hear the story of Irish Jack? Few. According to the legend, a stingy drunk named Jack tricked the devil into climbing an apple tree for an apple, but then cut the sign of a cross into the trunk of the tree to prevent the devil from coming down. This is obviously based in fact. Jack then forced the devil to swear he would never come after Jack's soul. I mean, every single aspect of this story is not just fiction, it's an absolute lie. Every single detail. The devil reluctantly agreed. Jack eventually died, but he was turned away at the gates of heaven because of his drunkenness and life of selfishness. He was sent to the devil, who also rejected him, keeping his promise. Since Jack has no place to go, or had no place to go, he was condemned to wander the earth. As he was leaving hell, he happened to be eating a turnip. Well, that makes perfect sense to me. Everybody who visits hell munches on a turnip. I mean, this is serious stuff. It is so sad. Goes on to say, as he was leaving hell, he happened to be eating a turnip. The devil threw a live coal at him. He put the coal inside the turnip and has since forever been roaming the earth with his jack-o'-lantern in search of a place to rest. Eventually, pumpkins replaced turnips since it was much easier to symbolize the devil's coal inside a pumpkin. Now, what is striking to me, you read that and you cannot believe it's true. But we have friends, sad to say, who will say, "Oh no, we don't do that at Halloween. we don't do ugly faces on pumpkins. We carve the face of Jesus into the pumpkin, and the light we put in there is the light of the gospel going out to others." Or we carve a cross into the pumpkin to show the light of Jesus. You think, are you serious? I'm sure that little child, that 7-year-old that's coming up for his Kit Kat or his Butterfinger, is saying, "Hey, look at that. I wonder if this must be a Christian household. Jesus, oh, come on. Talk about trying desperately to live paganism as if it were somehow Christianity is just terribly, terribly sad. So are we going to light a pumpkin, knowing the background behind this, that every single step is a lie? How there was probably never any Jack to begin with. There was no devil. He doesn't climb apple trees and get an apple. He's the most powerful spirit being after God in the universe. You think he'd have to climb an apple tree to get an apple? Excuse me. The whole thing is just reeking with lies and misinformation. So we're going to buy a plastic pumpkin with a face on it to symbolize that because we don't want to kill a real pumpkin. That would be, mistreating nature. I mean, it's just, after a while, you just go absolutely nuts. Eric Jones, in a recent article, 3 Reasons Not to Celebrate Halloween, wrote this: "Have you decided what you will be for Halloween this year? I actually have a suggestion. Be a Christian for Halloween this year." You may ask, how does someone dress up like a Christian? The answer? By not dressing up like anything at all. In other words, ditch Halloween completely, because it glorifies evil. Point number four. Number four. We don't do Halloween. Why number four? Because it teaches lies. It teaches lies, lie after lie after lie. Probably the greatest lie about Halloween are that dead people are not really dead. Their soul is in hell or heaven in the Christian version. And they're still alive. The penalty of sin is not death, it's life in hell. ghosts roaming around the earth, scaring others, needing to be fed to keep from harming others. 1 John chapter 1. We could go on and on about the lies that this season embodies. First John 1, in verses 5 and 6. This is the message that we have heard from Him, meaning Christ, and declare to you that God is light. Light. And in Him is no darkness at all. I will say there is no light in Halloween. None. Nothing redeemable about it. Goes on to say, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. It seemed to me that when I was a child, Halloween was strictly a kid thing. I never once ever remember my parents dressing up as anything. Maybe your household was the same way. But in the last number of years, with the immaturity of the mind of an American, it seems that it's becoming more and more an adult holiday. And that's why $8.3 billion is spent. It's not on candy. It's on parties and decorations, on costumes, etc. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 12. You knew that we would be coming here eventually. Deuteronomy 12, verse 28. God was warning the generation as they entered the promised land that they would see things that would appear somewhat logical and would appear somewhat desirable, and they would, with their human carnal natures, be attracted to those things. So in Deuteronomy 12, verse 28, we read, be careful, or observe and obey. Boy, that's a statement of God's way. Observe and obey. Another translation puts it this way, be careful to listen. Observe and obey all these words which I command you, that it may be well, may go well with you and your children after you forever, when you do what is good and right in the sight of the Eternal your God. What could we say is good and right about demons, about ghosts, about bloody hands? I mean, I couldn't believe it. I was looking for Halloween decorations. What's out there these days? And one of the things that they were selling is a bowl in which you put your candy so that when a child comes to the door, they can reach in the bowl and get their candy. Well, in the middle of the bowl sticking out is a severed hand covered with blood. And when the child puts their hand in the bowl, the battery in the thing starts up and the hand starts moving. Boy, that is light. That is beauty right there. This is a sick mind. It's a sick country in so many respects. And we have to understand it, regardless of who ends up in the Oval Office in 3 or 4 days. The nation is in serious trouble. We are in serious trouble. So he says, be careful, watch out, beware, observe these things. Goes on to say, verse 29, when the Eternal your God cuts off from you, before you, the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed, beware, watch out, that you are not ensnared to follow after them. How does Satan often snare us? He snares our little children through fun things, costumes, candy, parties. It's a snare. Now, are we against those things completely? Is it ever wrong to have a costume? Of course not. We'll talk more about that as we go. Do not be ensnared to follow them after they're destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. How did those ancient Celts serve their gods? Let's do the same thing, call it by a different name, so that we can bring them into the fold. That's the motivation. You shall not worship the eternal your God in that way. We cannot carve a pumpkin with the face of Jesus on it and make it a good thing. It is evil. It's wrong. You shall not worship the eternal your God in that way. For every, you see, when you take that approach, I'll decide how God should be worshipped. You leave the human mind at that point, it can go all kinds of terrible directions. For every abomination to the eternal, which he hates, they have done to their gods. What's the most extreme? They burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. So it's not, can we move All Saints Day from May 13th to November 1st? Are they ever asking, what does God say? Well, I think God would be very pleased if we honor those saints that have gone before us. I mean, the Catholics borrowed that directly from the Roman pagans, where the Roman gods, there was a day for each Roman god. They ended up with so many gods, they couldn't fit them all on the same day. So they had an all-God day, in essence. Stack them all together. Catholic Church starts naming days after saints. Run up too many saints, don't have enough days for them all. Let's put them on All Saints Day. We'll honor all the saints on that day. You see, Catholics, good Catholics, are supposed to honor the saint of the day. And now it's All Saints Day in addition to that. It's all false. None of it's, what does God ask? What does God want me to do? What does God say in his word his people ought to be doing? So it goes on to say, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. Verse 32, you shall not add to it, nor take away from it. Don't add or take away. These things are not just wrong, they are sinful, because they put human beings in God's seat. We'll decide for ourselves. Turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 and verse 12. Romans 13, verse 12, Paul again is not writing specifically about Halloween, but he's giving us a general warning. All of us. Romans 13, verse 12, for the night, he says, is far spent. The day is at hand. For all of us, it could be very soon. We don't know how much time we have left. The day is far spent. The day is at hand. Or night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Clearly, the teaching of lies through Halloween and all of its associated trappings is sin, is wrong. Now, there's two arguments I'd like to address before we close. The first is this. The argument, you're making a big deal out of something that is harmless. I mean, kids, costumes, and candy, what could be wrong about that? My kid has no idea of anything, All Saints anything. He has no idea about Celtic holidays. What could possibly be wrong with this now? All it is a secular day of kids and costumes and candy and parties. Are we against candy? Is candy a sin? Well, maybe too much is, but no, of course not. Are costume parties evil of and by themselves? Of course not. Are we against having kids having fun? Well, of course not. But by keeping Halloween, are we teaching our children to decide for themselves how God wants to be worshipped? So you just decide for yourself? Do we act once we know, once we have knowledge, where this all comes from? Can we in good conscience do exactly the same thing that was done by pagan Celtic worshipers 2,000 years ago and somehow call it now it's okay, it's fun? The town I grew up in, Halloween was a regular occurrence, of course, every year. And I often wondered, why'd we do the big bonfire? So the kids would go to the school, and we'd get a paper bag in our little farm town of New London. We get a little bag, a paper bag, a lunch bag of treats. It was an apple and an orange, and maybe if you were lucky, some candy as well. But the apple and orange were there every year. That was a real treat. But then the big bonfire out in the public area near the football field. Now I wondered, well, why do we do that? I don't know, it was fun. Hang around, play, goof around, run after the other kids. Little did I know that came directly from pagan superstition to chase away evil spirits. So once you know those things, how could we participate in them saying, well, it's just harmless? What are we teaching our children? It is a clear compromise of God's truth. It is caving into the ways of the world. When someone tries to say, well, we're just going to make this right, it's okay. I'd like to read to you from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. It's very typical of what Christianity out there says about Halloween. Here's the question on their question and answer page. I have mixed feelings about how our family should be involved in Halloween. What should I do? You all would have an immediate answer for that, wouldn't you? Mixed feelings? How should I be involved? Don't! One word, don't! None, nothing. Here's their answer. I mean, this is typical across the spectrum of Christianity out there. The answer, quote, people come to different conclusions about celebrating Halloween. You see, it's up to you. You have to decide what's right in your heart about this. People come to different conclusions about celebrating Halloween, particularly if they have young children or grandchildren to consider. How many times have you heard that? Well, it's just for the kids. Christmas, same thing. It's just for the kids. Get them gifts. You know, it's just for the kids. We want them to be happy. As if kids can't be happy without that. For some people, it continues, this holiday is a time for dress-up and candy. It is an opportunity for fun. Others express concern for their children's safety or for the emphasis that is often made on violence or horror at this time of year. What do you mean that is often made? That is always made. Not often. Don't sugarcoat this. Goes on to say, those who are interested in the right or wrong of the celebration may look at the holiday's origin in the occult. Excuse me. They know. It's not that they don't know, but they will not do what God says. It's an absolute compromise. Some, it says, those who are interested in the right or wrong of the celebration may look at the holiday's origin in the occult and believe it should not be celebrated at all. They are aware that some groups celebrate Halloween as a tribute to Satan. They know this. On the other hand, others recognize that Halloween, the eve of All Saints' Day on November 1st, is also associated with Martin Luther and the Reformation. They celebrate the religious freedoms won at that time in history. Have you ever heard of a Halloween party to celebrate religious freedoms? Are you kidding me? How we deceive ourselves. They celebrate the religious freedoms won at that time in history. Since each of these perspectives contain truth, it's difficult to know how to respond. Talk about compromise. Just as a side note, this is why the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association has lasted as long as it has, because they don't take a stand on anything. It's whatever you want, basically, and love Jesus and everything's okay. We encourage each family to develop their own approach to Halloween based on their own convictions and the options for celebration available to them. In other words, there's no right and wrong. There's no good or bad. It's up to you. The responsibility to make this decision rests on the adults in the family, not the children. The peer pressure on children is far too great for them to be objective. Certainly, providing a safe, fun environment must be a priority. Some parents adapt the traditional Halloween practices, while others develop totally different alternatives. These alternatives may include fall festival parties where children are encouraged to dress in a particular theme, such as positive cartoon or book characters, famous historical characters, or Bible heroes. Ever seen kids dress as Bible heroes? I mean, what what does a Bible hero look like? They all have the turban and the robe. Well, I don't know what they look like, so I kind of wear this robe, and I must be one. I'm Moses. Oh, you look just like Joshua over there. I don't know. Again, what is so tragic about this? Instead of saying, what does God say? It's how can we do what we want to do? What is fun? What has evil origins? What has pagan origins? What can we do? How can we do that and justify it? And that's what's so tragic. Not a matter of what God says. Well, let's come up with a fall festival and do it on October 31st instead of that Halloween stuff. Are you kidding me? Can't you see this? Carrying out that theme with simple acting can be fun and an opportunity for teaching values. Children will always be attracted to costumes and treats. Finding positive ways to enjoy these pleasures is the primary challenge for caring adults. If you decide to make a major change in the way your family celebrates Halloween, you may not need to do all the work yourself. We would encourage you to contact churches in your area to determine what activities are being planned. So lots of churches have what? Trunk or treat, where they park their minivans out in the lot, and then the kids just arrive in their costumes, and they go from minivan to minivan, and the hatch is open, and I get my treats that way. Excuse me, how is that any different? How is that any different? Then it goes on to say, rather than separate completely from the night's activities, you see, we're going to do the best we can to maintain this and try to salve our conscience. Rather than separate completely from the night's activities, some Christians give gospel tracts along with treats to children who come to their homes and make Halloween an opportunity to witness for Christ. Picture yourself. 7-year-old gets home with his bag of treats. He reaches in and pulls out the gospel tract. I should be praying to Jesus. Oh, I should give my heart to the Lord. Are you serious? Are you serious? Do you really think that's how you preach the gospel? That's how you spread the gospel light? John MacArthur, another famous preacher, Grace to You, you might be familiar with, says this on his website. After going through all the troubles and paganisms of Halloween, he knows. The conclusion is, quote, there's another option open to Christians. Limited, non-compromising participation in Halloween. Limited, non-compromising participation in Halloween. Excuse me, how do you do that? Salving people's conscience. Allowing them to think that wrong is right, that evil is good. He says, there's nothing inherently evil about candy, costumes, or trick-or-treating in the neighborhood. Well, when you know that trick-or-treating was originated to ward off evil spirits from doing bad things, yes, it is. It is absolutely wrong. There is something evil about that. In fact, he says, all of that can provide a unique gospel opportunity with neighbors. This gets better. Even handing out candy to neighborhood children, provided you're not stingy, can improve your reputation among the kids. See, you can use Halloween to show generosity of Jesus to these people. I mean, he's serious. Again, this is a non-compromising participation in Halloween. Yeah, dress up your kids as a vampire, but be sure to give big paydays and Kit Kats when kids come to your house because they'll love you for it. And that's going to preach the gospel? Are you serious? This is just rife with compromise, trying to call something that's sinful right. Even handing out candy to neighborhood children, provided you're not stingy, can improve your reputation among the kids. As long as the costumes are innocent and the behavior does not dishonor Christ, trick-or-treating can be used to further gospel interests. What a farce. What a lie. What a compromise. And yet they're all basically the same way. Oh, we can do it in a Christian manner. We can do something pagan in a Christian. No, you can't. No, you can't. There's a second argument, and that is something like this. Christianity has co-opted the day and taken it over. We have Christianized the pagan days. Days like Christmas, days like Easter, days like Halloween, days like Valentine's Day. We've Christianized them. We've won them over. And now they have Christian meanings, not pagan meanings. Did Christianity really Christianize this day by taking it over? Or in reality, has it just succeeded in putting Christian titles onto blatantly pagan practices? I mean, if Christianity has taken over Halloween and made it a Christian festival, look around. Does my neighbor up the street decorate his home now with Bibles and Ten Commandment plaques every year at this time of year? Is that what he does? To show how Christianity has taken over this day? People don't decorate their houses with mermaids and superheroes, the nice costumes. The decorations are skeletons, ghosts, goblins, witches, grave sites, headstones, tombstones, grotesque figures, severed body parts. How about the movies that are marketed for Halloween? Are they all about rainbows and sunshine and unicorns? No, they're about evil, sick-minded people doing horrific things to other human beings. Or sick spirit world themes. Sickness. It's a mental and emotional and spiritual sickness in our nation. They're always horror-filled themes. So to claim that Christianity has won this day over and taken it over and made it Christian is absolute insanity. It's not true in the least little bit. Can we really keep this day, dress up in a Christian costume, and use it to witness to those dressed up as zombies and demons? Does that make any sense at all? Have you ever heard of anyone that says, you know, I was out on Halloween trick-or-treating and I came across this person who was dressed as an angel and I accepted Jesus like right there? I mean, come on. Come on. That is such a compromise. Such a farce. Could we replace Halloween with a harvest festival where our kids dress up as angels or nice characters? Is this giving in to the concept that these pagan festivals are just too much fun to give up? Our kids have to have this experience, so we're going to repackage it and try to make it Christian. And we're going to not call it Halloween. Even though we do everything they do on Halloween, we're going to call it Harvest Festival. Can we see what a farce that is? What a compromise that is? Are they not following the world when they do that? They're not leading with truth, they're following the world. Hardly fulfills the scripture that admonishes us to come out from among them and be you separate. We cannot sugarcoat this. God has not asked us to imitate or try to win over or repackage a pagan festival by manufacturing a false celebration at that same time with the same habits. It never does that. Instead, what did he do? He gave his people the real deal. The real deal. He expects us to help others come out of their pagan celebrations and their equally misguided alternatives that they have manufactured. God asks us to help them to repent of those sins and come to the understanding that they need to keep the days that God commands. We don't need to come up with an alternative to Halloween. We've got the real thing. We've got God's holy days that outline his plan. So we don't come up with an alternative to Halloween when we have the best celebrations in history already. God's holy days, the outline of his plan of salvation. So brethren, Halloween is a worldly, demonic, satanic, dark, non-biblical celebration of darkness and evil. And it teaches tremendous falsehoods about the immortality of the soul. So Halloween's flimsy substitutes of non-biblical All Saints Day or All Hallows Eve are nothing but cheap imitations. They're a futile attempt to make things that are wrong appear to be acceptable. So let's be sure that we teach our children the truth about these things, that we help them to walk in the beautiful, bright light of God's truth.